It is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is Hope for a Fear-Filled World. If you desire a copy of the Bible Answers magazine, send your request to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City, and receive your free copy. I have an interesting letter. It is from a mother who says her young daughter asked her parents to take her to live someplace where there wasn't any sky so that no one could drop bombs on them. She was afraid to live under the sky, and I thought possibly millions of grown-ups feel the same way. So what is the answer? But first let me say that these programs come from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with Bible study groups, and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Now, Ed, will the young and the grown-ups ever enjoy freedom from fear?
Well, certainly today the world is filled with fear. That fact is made evident by the civil defense measures now being taken.
But, Ed, why should this be so? When I was a boy, the wise men of the earth were telling us that the human race was steadily progressing toward a higher state of civilization and that war would soon become a thing of the past. They said, soon we will have a utopia of peace and goodwill in the earth. Why did their expectations go astray?
From the practical standpoint, it was because the element of human selfishness was not taken into consideration. Science and education are not a cure for selfishness. To careful students of the Bible, this great time of trouble witnessed by the present generation is not a surprise.
Well, as Christians, the Bible's answer should be the one most important to you and me and the others. Ed, what does the Bible say about these tragic times through which we are living?
Well, the prophet Daniel foretold that there would be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Jesus quoted this prophecy and applied it to the time of his second advent and to the end of the present age.
However, Ed, the expression time of trouble is a very general one, you will admit. It could mean almost any kind of trouble at any time in history. How do we know that it refers to the conditions that exist in the world today?
Jesus answers that question. In Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26, he gives us a breakdown of this trouble, saying that there would be upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and that the hearts of the people would fail them for fear as they looked ahead to the things coming upon the earth.
Well, it is certainly true today that the hearts of many, besides that little girl, are filled with fear, and while everyone hopes that lasting peace will be attained, even the thought of peace with its possible impact upon world economy causes some a great deal of apprehension. But, Ed, what is to be the final outcome of this time in which we are living? Does the Bible answer this question?
Indeed it does. Someone has well said that it has been given to this generation to hold a rendezvous with destiny. This is right, but God holds the controlling hand over that destiny, and the implications of this are most wonderful. Briefly stated, the facts are, as pointed out in the Word of God, that we've reached the end of an age in the plan of God, yes, even more than that, we have reached the end of a world.
Just a minute. The end of the world. There's an expression. It's bad enough to have wars and to fear nuclear fission without the dreadful contemplation that the world will soon come to an end.
That is because we do not understand what the Bible means by the end of the world.
Well, as you know, that expression engenders fear, no matter how one may look at it.
It would not if we understood it in harmony with the prophecies of the Bible. The end of the world is not, as we once supposed, the end of the earth, but rather the end of our present social order in the earth. This is pointed out very clearly in the book Hope for a Fear-Filled World, which shows from the Bible that Satan's rulership in our present social order is to be supplanted by the rulership of Christ.
In that event, then, the end of Satan's world is also the time of Christ's return, the new king of earth, I presume.
That's right. And all the children of men will rejoice when they realize that Satan's world has come to an end, for then they will have an opportunity of becoming citizens in a new world, a new social order, in which the authority and laws will be those of the kingdom of Christ.
Well, the present world has never been entirely satisfactory, not even to those who have been most enthusiastic in their efforts to perpetuate its existence.
Well, there has been and still is much good in the world, but evil seems usually to predominate. And besides, in this present evil world, sickness, pain, and death have been the dreaded heritages of all of us.
And not only so, Ed, but fear of worse things to come, both here and in the hereafter. And these things have helped to rob the family of men of the joy which might temporarily at least be theirs. But you spoke of sickness, pain, and death. Will these also be destroyed in God's new world of tomorrow?
Indeed they will, Russell. And that is one of the main objectives of Christ's thousand-year reign. The Apostle Paul declares that Christ must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, and that the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
The Bible says that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. What are some of the other enemies to be destroyed by the power of Christ's kingdom?
Every form of evil is an enemy of God, of man, and of righteousness, and will eventually be destroyed. Christ's reign will result in joy, in health, and life for all the willing and obedient of mankind.
Well, it is difficult to imagine a world in which there is no death, that deathbeds and graveyards shall be no more. It'll be a wonderful time, but it's difficult to imagine.
But God has promised that it shall be so, and we can believe it and take courage. In fact, only the promises of God are able to remove fear from the heart in these days of dread and uncertainty that are all about us.
Well, it is true that if such promises were made by one less powerful than God, we might be justified in doubting.
We do not understand what makes us live, but God does. And he is abundantly able to give everlasting life to all who obey in Christ's kingdom of blessing and health soon to come.
Ed, that is certainly a glorious hope to hold out to that young girl and to her parents, and really to the fear-filled and distressed people throughout the world today.
Yes, and it's just as sure as the promises of God. When viewed in their proper light, even these distressing times through which we're now living should increase our faith in God's promises. For present world events were clearly foretold by his prophets thousands of years ago. And now, Russell, will you tell our friends about our gift book, Hope for a Fear-Filled World?
Thank you, Frank. I will. And friends, Ed struck a happy note when he spoke of the promises of God for his human family. There is enough fear in the world today without using the prophecies of the Bible to frighten people, nor are they intended for that purpose. Hope for a fear-filled world points out from the prophecies of the Bible that the long-promised kingdom of peace and righteousness is soon to be established for the blessing of all mankind. Here are some questions. How do we know that the end of the world is not doomsday for the earth? What is the basic cause of the fear that fills the world today? Why have all human efforts to establish lasting peace failed? What will occur in the last days that are foretold in the Bible? The Apostle Paul foretold that Christ will destroy death during his reign on earth. What will this mean in human experience? These questions suggest the general subject matter discussed in Hope for a Fear-Filled World. You are invited to send for it now. It's free. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. I repeat the address. It is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for the World Book. Just the one word world is all you need to remember, and the little book will be sent to you free by mail without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.